superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's do it.
Former translator for Shohei Ohtani. One of the ways that he stole from him is he changed the settings on Ohtani's bank account so Ohtani would not receive alerts and confirmations about transactions.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Is that really a way that you can make sure that somebody doesn't see $4.5 million is gone?
Today's guests, ESPN baseball reporter Alden Gonzalez. UConn guard Cam Spencer, New York Times best-selling author Don Winslow, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Our number one of this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Another way of saying welcome to the program. We're up and running right here in Los Angeles, California. The second round of the Masters is getting underway as the first round was finishing up this very morning. It looks like a beautiful day in Augusta. We'll keep you up to speed. Tiger's looking at a putt right now. It's all good in the hood when you're getting ready for one of the most fun weekends of sitting on your tail.
Oh, yeah.
If you're so able to do. And so we're going to keep an eye on all of that for you throughout this three-hour program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. And it wasn't a putt. Tiger just holed out, actually.
He just chipped in. The green.
This is fun stuff, isn't it?
He needed that, though. The projected cut line is right at plus two. He was at plus two.
Okay.
Assume that's for birdie. That gets him to plus one. Heading to the seventh tee.
And Bryson DeChambeau, who had a 64 on Thursday, is getting ready to tee off in the second round right now. And it's really odd. He's got a pitching wedge. No, wait a minute. That's a driver. And he's going to swing from his heels. Okay, good. Good to know.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
He would do something like that, though.
No. He's just going to swing straight from his heels. As I mentioned, we're here for you over the next 3 hours on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey. We say hello to our podcast listeners who listen whenever they darn well please. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I am outstanding. Oh, I can't wait for this weekend.
Good to see you, Jason Feller.
Hey, what's up, Rich?
I am doing well. And TJ Jefferson, the candle is lit, is it not?
Oh. The candle's lit. You guys would be surprised. I spent about an hour and a half watching golf last night.
Hey.
How about that?
Come aboard.
I would say come to the dark side, but this is not the dark side.
No, this is the green side. We are greenside, baby.
One of the most prolific authors on planet Earth, Don Winslow, whose final book, City in Ruins, is wherever you can get your books. He's going to stop by in hour number three. Cam Spencer of UConn Huskies fame. He's going to be joining us in the middle of the show. We'll talk to an actual national champion basketball player. That'll be fun.
Love it.
Coming up in about 18 minutes' time is Alden Gonzalez from ESPN to talk about what we talked about all day yesterday, and that is what's going on with Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter and, one would imagine, former friend, Ipe Mitsuhara, and how in the third hour of our show the feds moved on Mitsuhara and laid bare what's been going on. All the details of what's been going on and what the federal government and those who have been investigating all of this have found out, what is going on behind the scenes that I had questions about. Listen, I'm getting dragged by Dodger fans. I'm getting dragged by Ohtani stans. I'm getting dragged. And I'm getting dragged for being skeptical. I'll just for everyone in the back once again. The way it works in this world, certainly when we're fortunate to have the platform that we have and the YouTube channel that we have and the X page that we have and the Facebook page that we have, is some people are seeing what I said a week ago or even in the first hour of yesterday's show.
Right, because information changed.
Right, and saying more, and thinking that, you know? that I am just reacting to the latest in a manner in which you're seeing that I was reacting 24 hours before, and things are fluid. So just again, for everyone in the back, my only agenda in this entire thing is hoping that Shohei Ohtani didn't do what we all thought was entirely possible to be true. Of anybody out there who wanted to see full-on evidence before making a conclusion. Now, there were a lot of holes in this story, certainly when the interpreter in question told ESPN at the start that Ohtani was covering his bets, when it was discovered that $4.5 million out of an Ohtani bank account wound up in the hands of an illegal bookmaker here in Southern California. And I'm wondering, how can a guy say, hey, he's covering my bets, and then all of a sudden, once it gets kicked upstairs to some legal folks and Ohtani, and he hears what the interpreters told ESPN, all of a sudden it's like, no. He was ripped off. When the interpreter was made available to ESPN by Ohtani's recently hired crisis management PR person. And just again, for my own personal aspect of all this, when I was at ESPN, I befriended and was befriended by Mark McGwire, who I adore even to this day, even though he did look me in the face and said he didn't do anything wrong when it came to his playing career. And I believed him. And then, as we all know, that didn't turn out to be the case. And I would never have believed that then. So it's tough for me to believe everything on its face. And the two things that I had problems with from the start was, number one, why did that story change? How do you explain that? How do you explain missing all this money and Ohtani not knowing? And those were the questions that I had. How did he know he was not being ripped off? And how do you rip him off like that?
I think those were very fair.
That's what I wanted to know. And how do we know he didn't do the betting for Ohtani, right? Like, those are the things that I wanted to know. Even though I met him with the interpreter, by the way, it's kind of funny. When I saw Cooper yesterday, because we met Ohtani at the Rams-Saints game, and Ohtani couldn't have been sweeter, and took a picture with Cooper, and the interpreter was there. And it got and his Ohtani's agent couldn't have been nicer.
I wonder who the Ipe liked in the game that night.
Stop it. Cooper said to me, Dad, you know what he said to me, Dad? He said, Dad, we met somebody who ripped another person off of $16 million.
Yeah, that's true.
And I said, you know what? I don't know if I've ever met anybody like that either, Coop.
And also, you're doing due diligence.
I'm just putting it all out there so I can now put in front of you exactly how I'm viewing everything right now, that everything has been laid bare, because I read the 37-page affidavit that was made public yesterday when U.S. attorneys laid bare the entire details of their investigation. And I just want to give you some of these highlights, because I read it all. And the depths that Mizuhara was allegedly going to hide everything from Ohtani and hide everything from Ohtani's agent and bookkeeper and financial advisor and accountant. Everything that he did behind the scenes to gamble and defraud a bank in order to do it. The depths of the deception would make Walter White blush. I couldn't believe, as I was going page by page by page on all of this, laid out by the IRS special agent named Chris Seymour, who's been part of the criminal investigation unit there since February 2001. And yes, as we suspected weeks ago, it is called IRS-CI, which sounds like a CBS dramatic procedural.
Is Iron Eagle do
it? Iron Eagle could do a great mid-free throw read of what's coming up on the next IRS-CI.
Starring Wilmer Valderrama.
You want to text Nance? You want to text Nance and try to squeeze those in during the Masters this weekend?
Basically, the gist is this, that Mitsuhara helped Ohtani open up a bank account when Ohtani first arrived in America.
Okay.
And into this bank account, Ohtani's baseball salary would be placed. I guess direct deposit from Artie Moreno.
Every 2 weeks.
Okay.
They're just like us.
And
every Friday.
And sure enough, his agent and bookkeeper and financial advisor and accountant would ask to have eyes on this account. And Mitsuhara, who was in front of Ohtani and beside Ohtani at every meeting, according to this affidavit, with his agent and everyone else, Mitsuhara was the guy to speak on Ohtani's behalf when Ohtani wasn't there and when Ohtani was there in front of all of them. He would tell these folks, Ohtani wants it private. Whenever they would call him up, because they didn't speak directly to Ohtani without Mitsuhara being the translator. And around 2021, Mitsuhara began gambling and started dipping into this thing. And that's been my question, is how does all this money go out and the bank doesn't raise a flag with somebody on Ohtani's team? It's because that's the setup. And sure enough, on page 21, I've taken a few excerpts. I want to show everyone. These are the answers I've been looking for and wondering about and have been criticized for being asked, wondering about these instead of just believing blindly about Ohtani saying I had nothing to do with it. Call it up. This is on page 21. On a day in which it does appear in November of 2021, okay? It appears this is maybe the first time Mitsuhara had asked for money from this account, and he got rejected from the bank, and the bank froze the account, and he told the bank, because they have the conversations, they are listening in, they have the recordings from the bank. Mitsuhara told the bank he was wanting to wire funds, and it was to the bookmaker, for a car loan. And the bank said no and froze the account. And later on in the day, this is February of 2022, and he had just apparently started gambling late in 2021. I'm reading straight from the affidavit. On another call on the same day, a different Bank A employee spoke with Mitsuhara using his phone regarding the suspension of online banking to the account in question. During this call, Mitsuhara again falsely identified himself as victim A and responded to security challenge questions by giving the Bank A employee biographical information for victim A. As a result of this call, Mitsuhara was able to successfully lift the online banking suspension of the account. And in here, there is, keep it up, please. In here, there is a footnote from the previous page that I'll read to you, because you're wondering, okay, how do they know, right? If you're still wondering. The agent says, I recognize Mitsuhara's voice based on a recording of an attempted interview of him on or about March 21, 2024, basically when he came off the plane from South Korea.
Oh, wow.
At Los Angeles International Airport.
Yeah, when the story first
which
broke.
I have reviewed. Moreover, the account owner's victim A, meaning Ohtani, does not speak English fluently, while the caller spoke fluent English.
Well, that's a dead giveaway.
Well, that's a dead giveaway. You know what's also a dead giveaway? The IP addresses they have for Mitsuhara's phone and computers, the email accounts that are associated with the account that are belong to Mitsuhara. They have texts from Mitsuhara's phone to the bookmaker and everybody else. And they also have something called device IDs. You know how when you sometimes log into your bank account from another phone or another computer, you're on the road, you're doing something, and they're like, we don't recognize this
device.
Yeah, it's because every device you log into your bank account by the bank is given something called a device ID.
Oh.
They know exactly.
Yes.
The devices Mitsuhara was using, they all belong to Mitsuhara. None of them to Ohtani. None of them. So there's that. Now then, what about Ohtani knowing? What about him knowing? Everybody who's out there thinking, you know what? He's just been a best friend, and he's going down for Ohtani right now. Wouldn't you think if somebody's placing 19,000 bets, winning $140 million and losing $180 million for someone, that somebody at some point would be curious as to whether a particular bet of the 19,000 was a win or a loss? Wouldn't you think?
I would think.
Out of one of them,
I would think.
There would be some form of communication that could be found in which the guy who's doing the bets on the behalf of the one who's who's bankrolling it, you'd think the bankrollee would talk to the bankroller about it, and the bankroller would be curious as to what the bankrollee's gambit or play was. Wouldn't you think one of them would show up?
Yes.
As noted above, I or members of the investigative team that I have spoken with have reviewed an extraction of the Mitsuhara phone, which contained voluminous messages between Victim Egg and Ohtani and Mitsuhara in Japanese. An HSI special agent who is fluent and a native speaker of the language, in Japanese language, reviewed approximately 9,700 pages of text messages between Victim A and Mitsuhara between 2020 and 2024. Based on his review, I am aware of the following. One, there was no discussion of sports betting between Mitsuhara and Victim A in the Mitsuhara phone. Two, there was no discussion between Mitsuhara and Victim A that mentioned bookmakers 1, 2, or 3, associate 1, or the named account holder of the account, again, and the account in question is the one with the bookmaker. There was no discussion between Mitsuhara and Victim A of odds, wagering, or any other reference which might indicate Victim A's knowledge of Mitsuhara's gambling with bookmaker one. There was no discussion of keeping the account private. Again, Mitsuhara told everybody in Ohtani's life, no eyes on this account, because that's the way Ohtani wanted it.
Right.
There's not even a serious discussion of keeping this account private between the two men, or any direction by Victim A that information about the account should not be disclosed to Agent 1 or any of the above identified financial advisors for Victim A. And then there's one more thing that I'm not putting up on the screen that the special agent pointed out, which is an interesting note. If Ohtani was covering his debts, don't put that one up on the screen. This is not it, please. If Ohtani was covering his debts, wouldn't he allow Mitsuhara? Would he allow Mitsuhara to deposit the winnings if he was covering the debts, like Mitsuhara told ESPN to start, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he was covering the debts, would he allow Mitsuhara to take the winnings? $140 million worth. Put it in his own personal account. Wouldn't he say, make me whole? Correct?
Right. Where's my piece?
Never did. Never mentioned it. Never talked about it. And as a matter of fact, let Mitsuhara put all his winnings in his own personal bank account. But Mitsuhara was having trouble making people whole, including the bookmaker.
Hey, he's chasing.
At one point, things were beginning to unravel in this story. I'm telling you, you got to read the whole document. It's out there. It's a link on the ESPN story that Alden Gonzalez was writing, and he's going to be joining us shortly. The plot began to unravel.
Mm.
Okay, and the bookmaker, number one in question, wasn't getting paid and wasn't getting responded to by Mitsuhara. And I think even he began to wonder, who's behind this whole thing?
The bookmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he put up on the screen, please. on or about November 17th of this year. Bookmaker One message Mitsuhara stating, "Hey, Ippy, it's 2 o'clock on Friday. I don't know why you're not returning my calls. I'm here in Newport Beach, and I see Victim A, again, Otani, walking his dog.
Oh, geez.
I'm just going to go up and talk to him and ask how I can get in touch with you since you're not responding. Please call me back immediately." The way Otani almost found out about this, because without a doubt, after you read this whole thing, I am fully convinced that Otani saying, "I was ripped off," through his lawyers, on that day he came back from South Korea, and then telling everybody in person, through his new interpreter, "I had no idea. I've been ripped off." I fully and completely believe it. And to anybody who thinks I feel otherwise because they're seeing something from last week or yesterday, please find the Dodger stand and Otani stand in your life and run, tell that. I fully believe it. And do I apologize to Otani for doubting him? Sure, that's the way I sound like a mealy-mouthed apologist, but I will never apologize for asking for evidence.
I don't even look at you were doubting. You were just asking.
No, clearly I was doubting. I was wondering.
What was a legitimate question?
You can't in this day and age, but I Otani, I completely believe it. And just my two pieces of advice, learn English.
Check your account now and then.
And change your passwords every now and then.
Yeah.
Because this guy, who he depended on to talk and converse on his behalf with everybody important in his life, completely let him down and ripped him off and has a major gambling problem. Just look at this document and the texts that go back and forth. There was one 3-day period in a row where he kept asking for bumps, which means what again?
I just need more credit.
Okay. So, what a fascinating read this document is. And I wanted to bring some of these things to you because those are the two things I wanted answered. How was he ripped off when everything needs to be, accounted for by the bank and your own personal accountants? And, did Otani really not know about the gambling? Not a single syllable in Japanese or English on the cell phones between these two men that would indicate it. Let's talk about it with Alden Gonzalez of ESPN. We'll take a break. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And I apologize for being late for our next guest, but I was trying to just break down everything that I read in the 37-page affidavit that was placed in front of all of us, wondering what has been going on in the investigation of Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter from ESPN, Alden Gonzalez. Been all over the story, was at the press conference yesterday, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Alden?
I'm doing great, Rich. How you doing, man?
What was it like in that room yesterday, man, when the word 16 million came out?
There was just honestly, I think there was an audible gasp. I'm not trying to sensationalize this, but right. I mean, there were 15 cameras in that room. There were dozens of reporters, and we knew that we were there for Ipe Mizuhara. I don't think anybody on the outside, and I don't think many people on the inside thought the final number would end up being more than $16 million. I think that's just a number that a lot of people have a hard time getting their head around for obvious reasons.
Well, I mean, and I was just doing the math out there once they, because the numbers are just staggering. They really are, Alden. I mean, that's the fact that this guy bet so much and so often and won $140 million in change and lost $180 million in change. And then he ripped off Ohtani of $16 million, allegedly. So where's the other $24 million? Like, the numbers kind of don't add up, right? I mean, what is the status, best you know, on that, Alden?
Yeah, Rich, there's still a lot of unanswered questions here. And one of the questions that was posed was whether or not Shohei Ohtani's going to get his money back. And that's something that they don't know yet. As for the other $24 million, I can tell you that the illegal sports betting operation is under federal investigation. So I don't know that they're in a position to pay them or if they're in a position to receive money like that. But that's still left to be determined. I think, you know, this happened pretty quickly for it to be 3 weeks before they were able to charge Ipe Mizuhara with bank fraud was really fast. And because it was fast, I think there's just still a lot of questions that we still don't know the answers to. But I will tell you, and you went over some of this, Rich, before I came on, reading through that 37-page complaint, it is gambling addiction encapsulated. And I thought it came about as close to vindicating Shohei Ohtani in a situation that drew, understandably, a lot of cynicism from the outside as anybody could have possibly imagined. It is thorough. And I thought a few elements of that complaint stuck out to me. One was the fact that federal prosecutors combed through, it seems like, every text exchange that Ipe and Shohei had over that three-year period in question and never found one reference from Shohei Ohtani to gambling, to props, to the bookmaker in question. There was evidence of Ipe from recorded phone calls with the bank impersonating Shohei Ohtani to get wire transfers through. And I thought the most damning part of it came at the end of that complaint, which is when these stories are finally breaking and Ipe Mizuhara reaches out to the bookkeeper to ask if he has seen the report. The bookkeeper tells him that is probably not true and that regardless, he knows that he hasn't been stealing from Shohei Ohtani because he's been a middleman. And I'm paraphrasing here, obviously. Ipe said essentially, actually, that's not true. I have been stealing from him. Yeah. It is pretty damning. And just reading through all of it, I've read it 2-3 times already. There's so many parts of it that just I'm shocked by.
Yeah, Mizuhara used the word technically. I've been stealing from him, and I'd love to know his definition of technically, because he was a technician, it does appear, in being deceptive. And the stunning details of deception that this lays out is shocking. But I think you do land on the most clearing, or I shouldn't use the word exculpatory, but I just did, for Ohtani, is exactly what you said, that 9,700 text messages in Japanese between the two men were analyzed. And at one point, I mean, even if he is covering his debts, as Mizuhara attempted in his first story to ESPN, to your colleagues, wouldn't you say that there would be a text saying, hey, you know, did you make enough to pay me back? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, there was not even a reference to any of that, Alden. in these text exchanges.
Yeah, and I think, Rich, coming off of this, the big question I still have, and I think this was a question that a lot of people had initially when this story started to break, and some of the details of this are in the complaint, is how do you go 6 years with an account that, according to this complaint, housed all the money that Shohei Ohtani made as a player without anybody at his agency, without any of his financial advisors demanding to either have access to that account, which had tens of millions of dollars, I would presume, or at least asking Shohei Ohtani directly about whether it's okay that Ipe Mizuhara has sole access to the account. And just to sort of catch listeners up on what I'm referencing here, Ipe Mizuhara started that account for Shohei Ohtani in 2018 when he came to the United States. And according to the complaint, Ipe told Shohei Ohtani's representatives, his financial advisors, that Ohtani wanted to keep it private. And the complaint states that they all went through Ipe Mizuhara to communicate about this account. And so nobody else ever had access to it. Nobody else brought it up to Shohei Ohtani. That's the most one of the wilder parts of the complaint to me. And I will say, in my mind, this kind of illustrates, if this is indeed the case, what is sort of a perfect storm around Ohtani when you have an athlete who is so hyper-focused on doing something that's never been done in baseball, coming over to the United States, not speaking the language, the dynamic of a Japanese player, Japanese superstar, and his interpreter, and how much an interpreter is in charge of, and just the fact that Shohei Ohtani and Ipe Mizuhara have a relationship dating back to 2013. The people at CAA, the people around Shohei Ohtani's inner circle, didn't get to know him until after that had been established. And so that could be a path towards why you would think they would only communicate with Ipe Mizuhara. But as I said previously, it was just the perfect sort of confluence of events, if this is all indeed the case, that would allow somebody like Ipe to wire $16 million from a player's account without that player knowing.
That's an interesting question. That if the bookmaker and financial advisor and CPA and agent had questions about this account, they knew it existed, they knew they didn't have eyes on it, and they would ask, according to this affidavit, Mizuhara, hey, you know, the issues we have with this arrangement is that if he makes a gift or does something that we don't know about that could be make him tax liable, that's an issue for us. And Mitsuhara's answer that they accepted, according to this affidavit, was, yeah, we're not doing anything like that. Don't worry about it. This is exactly the way Ohtani wants it set up. And I guess your point is that in the one or, I guess, handful of times that they would all be in the same room, they didn't bring it up right then and there. But then again, that's the other questions I have, too, is how much English does Ohtani know, right? Like, would he have absolutely no idea? Because the affidavit also said, Alden, which is interesting, Alden Gonzalez of ESPN here, is the way that Ohtani found out about it in South Korea at the end of last month, and how he was in the room when Mizuhara spoke in English to the Dodgers team writ large about what was happening. And he left that room without fully grasping what was happening because he didn't know, right? I mean, what's the reporting on the way that everything went down in South Korea that you have, Alden?
Yeah, and Tisha Thompson, my colleague, initially reported this about Shohei Ohtani not really finding out, or at least even part of it, until that meeting in South Korea after the first game when Ipe addressed the team, other members of the front office addressed the team. And Shohei Ohtani, when he gave his long statement on March 25th, provided an element of this that, in my conversations with Dodgers officials, was an important part of this. And he said that before, and I hope I'm remembering the sequence of events correctly, I think I am. He said that before that meeting, Ipe Mizuhara told him, or after the meeting, told him, hey, look, we need to talk in the hotel one-on-one. So apparently, according to the complaint, according to what Shohei Ohtani told us in his statement, Ipe Mizuhara addressed the team, told them in that moment he has a gambling addiction. Shohei Ohtani has been helping him pay off his gambling debts. That story is going to come out. And according to Shohei Ohtani, the follow-up meeting was for Ipe to reveal this to him. So that's what's in the complaint. That's what Shohei Ohtani said previously. To answer your initial question about Ohtani's grasp of English, He knows English. He knows Spanish. How much he grasps it, how fluent is he? Probably not very much. I've been told by many people that he knows more English than people think he does. I think it would be fair to say he doesn't know English well enough to keep up in long conversations. Mm-hmm. It's gotten better. But that's one of the more interesting parts, right? That you get to South Korea and you don't really realize this until Ipe is addressing the team. I will say too, Rich, what we were talking about with regard to the communication going through Ipe with regard to that account in question, I think it highlights how much trust Shohei Ohtani had in this person, how much of a responsibility this person carried for him. And if everything that's been laid out in the affidavit, which backs up everything that Shohei Ohtani laid out, if all of that is true, you sort of feel bad for Shohei Ohtani that somebody he relied upon so heavily took advantage of him in this way. But I do want to emphasize, we don't know that to be 100% true. Ipe is innocent until proven guilty. I'm just saying, if that is the case, you can't help but feel sympathy for him in that moment.
But the facts are just so damning. I mean, there's no question in my mind that if these facts were placed in front of me and I'm on a jury, there's no question the way I would go into the jury room and rule. I mean, this is really damning, to say the least, in terms of Ipe Mitsuhara. Where is he right now? Where is Mr. Mitsuhara as we're conversing?
I would assume he's in Southern California because he is due in court later this afternoon.
Okay.
It's an initial hearing. He's going to surrender to authorities. He's going to be out on bond. I don't think he's going to enter a plea, but he is expected at court. Last I heard, 2 p.m. Pacific time, Los Angeles.
I don't know. I'm looking at these documents. How does he have who's bonding him out? You know, is it Moscone? I mean, that's a Midnight Run reference. I'm sorry.
Well done.
Okay. So what's the other questions you have lastly for you, Alden? Like, where do we go from here?
Well, the big one is going to be obviously what happens with Ipe Mitsuhara, how far he takes this in terms of his defense, what his sentencing is. Mm-hmm. And look, the big question that I still have is the one that I mentioned earlier, is how does an account with tens of millions of dollars get in the hands solely of Ipe Mitsuhara? How is it that even still, reading the affidavit and reading about how he impersonated Shohei Ohtani and how he got the account linked to his phone number, according to the affidavit, It's still hard to wire that much money, right? Like, there are a lot of steps, I would think. I don't have experience wiring that much money, but I would think there are a lot of steps required in wiring that much money. How does that continue to happen? And how is it that there is not a single instance in a 6-year period where it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback in these situations. I get it. But how is there not one instance in a 6-year period where you're not directly asking Shohei Ohtani, hey, are you sure that you're okay with this? Ipe keeps saying you want this private. Is that true? And if it is, it just goes back to the dynamic of their relationship and how much trust Shohei Ohtani had in Ipe.
Well, I guess the issue with that, Alden, is based on this document that in this affidavit, that question to be posed directly to Shohei Ohtani would have to be posed through Mitsuhara. That's the, that would have to be the moment where, hey, Ipe, you've got to ask him. And then they bring another interpreter in the room to make sure he's saying the right thing, although they might never have suspected that Ipe would not have Ohtani's back and would be so remarkably deceptive. You know, that would have to be the case.
It sounds, and I think there is an element of this from Shohei Ohtani's agent, who is not named, but it's Nez Bolello, where he essentially says he had no reason to doubt Ipe Mitsuhara. It goes back to just how shocking all of this is. From the very onset, when there were so many questions around how involved, if at all, Shohei Ohtani was in this whole operation, this is not anything that anybody could possibly see coming. And in my time covering baseball, and it's been a while at this point, this is as salacious and as surprising a story as I've ever been in front of.
Alden, thanks very much. Look for more of our requests for your time as this story develops. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Rich.
You bet. That's Alden Gonzalez from ESPN right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You got any other 2 cents? Just before we close the books, if you will, on this conversation? I mean, we spent the top 40 minutes of this program on it.
It's just kind of head shaking. It's just, this story is too insane to even believe. The numbers, the levels of deception, the length this has been going on. You know, I was looking at Ohtani's Spotrac page just to see, like, when was he, did he start making money? Remember his first few years with Anaheim? He was making $500,000 a year. And then you see, okay, he's making $3 million here, $3 million here, $30 million here. Okay, well, that's when the gambling really picked up for Ipe. And so it seems like...
And I'm just wondering...
Was this a plan the whole time? Like, well, when did it start? That's kind of what I'm curious about.
Do you think representatives of every major athlete in every major sport who doesn't speak English and speaks through an interpreter
is immediately
just saying, yeah, we need to vet this thing. Uh-huh. And
how well do I know this guy?
Right.
And not just non-English speakers. We've seen this has been happening throughout the history of sports. People get ripped off.
Yeah.
People with big money, they're constantly getting money stolen from them. So they more due diligence, as we like to say, needs to be done to protect your income, your finances, because it's pretty easy if you're in with someone to get a little bit of intel and be able to steal money from them. Now, money of this amount is a whole nother case.
To be
case,
as good
obviously.
As you are at this level, you need to be singularly focused. You can't be worrying about when your Amex bill is due.
And that seems to be what happened, right?
That's the question that we were asking when Ohtani was rumored to be on the outs with the Angels, and the Angels didn't trade him, and free agency was now the conversation in the middle of last season. And we were starting to ask, like, what's he like? You know, what's he like?
And
when the answer was, he's very private.
Yeah.
And he lives right near the stadium, and he would just show, he would do his workouts, he would show up. The Angels didn't ask very much of him to do much glad handing and stuff like that. They just wanted to let him alone. You go rake, you go pitch, you're a unicorn. And you're likable, you're bankable, yep, you're awesome in every regard. And it just seems like based on this, he would just leave it up to Mitsuhara to do all the stuff that needs to be done on his behalf, to speak with everybody who does everything in his business.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy was an alleged barbarian at the gate. And that's the way it looks. And we'll see how he responds when he shows up in court, because the affidavit is damning, to say the least. We'll take a break, give you an update on what's going on at the Masters. Wow.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. All right, Chris, straight up.
Okay, ready.
Straight up.
Yep.
Are you nervous about your Boston Celtics right now?
Oh, great question.
I mean, 62 wins, I get it.
Yep. Best team all year.
And I would understand how they would lose potentially lose focus at this point. I mean, it's like senioritis right now. You know you're going to graduate.
Oh, big time senioritis.
Okay, you know you're
big time.
You know you're going to the next level, right?
Yep.
And you know there's no grades that can knock you out of going to the next level. Yep. at the level you're going. I mean,
they've been there. They're at the level. Yeah.
You've gotten in. You're
it's
in.
Been historically a
great 13 season. Game lead currently atop the Eastern Conference.
A historic season, and by all metrics, offensively,
however,
one of the best teams ever.
However,
in the last,
2 weeks.
2 weeks, they lose both games to the Hawks. Like,
they got curb stomped by the Knicks last night.
And the Bucks, kind of, too. My concern level, 1 to 10, I think I'm right in the middle. I'm a 5.
Really?
I don't like some of the body language stuff. And look, they haven't had anything to play for in months. So
you have to flip a switch, pal.
And that's the thing. Is like, it's not like there's a championship pedigree of switch flipping. And
hence why they should have played like they had something to play for all this time.
Yeah, but you can't just go all out in March when you're 10 games up.
I know a guy named Michael Jeffrey Jordan who might disagree with something. If you want to be a champion, you want to be great, right? Like,
no,
cool. Let's pick the greatest ever and say, hey, be like him all the time. That's not reality. And plus, we're trying to manage injury and manage minutes and make sure people are healthy for the games that actually count. And I'm just a little worried.
Okay.
High register worried.
Well, right now,
this is really going to hurt you're
the one seed.
You haven't made yet.
You've been the one seed for a while, and it looks like you're going to be taking on, the Sixers, Heat, Bulls, or Hawks. The Heat again, man. You can't quit them. You can't quit the Miami Heat.
Can the Bulls upset somebody, please, so we can get that?
I don't know about that.
You know what I mean? I keep waiting for the Pacers to lose.
Yeah.
Can the Pacers lose? Can we play them in the first round?
Well, right now, the Knicks are slated to play the Pacers, but with their big, huge win in Boston last night, if they win their final two games, first of all, they'd be a 50-win basketball team, which is something that is just words that don't really often said. New York Knicks 50 win lately, and with consistency, to say the least. And the Bucks are not playing Giannis. They could be the two.
Yeah, yeah.
Knicks could be the two seed here. And I found it funny. Finally, Kenny Smith is finally the Knicks fans are dragging Kenny because Kenny said the Knicks are last year never have the best player on the court.
Right.
And now they clearly do. And last night he said that Jalen Brunson's playing the best of anybody in the Eastern Conference. So, of course, Knicks fans will not accept those flowers from him.
There was a moment yesterday when he went down and was holding his hand. And like, oh, my. Because they were trying to pick him up and he just laid there shaking his hand.
This
and
is
I was
that
like,
time
oh,
of year.
No.
Anything anybody looks like they tweaked, you're like, oh please,
yeah.
Please.
Well, look at Giannis. Look at Giannis.
That's what I mean.
That's exactly what happened. And Brunson had one of those non-contact moments about a month and a half, month ago. And hearts and throats everywhere. And, Randall's not coming back. He's not walking through that door. He will not be there. But the Knicks could be the two seed in the Eastern Conference.
Wild.
Right now, the Bucks are the two, the Knicks are the three, and the Cavs are the four, and they're separated by a game each.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Man, the Celtics, you're right, though, Chris. They're 13 up on the Bucks. Like, it hasn't even been close.
Haven't had a thing to play for in a month.
What was the stat you gave me about this is the biggest lead?
Yeah, it's the biggest lead between 1 and 2 since the 1976 Warriors.
Speaking of the Warriors, they clinched a play-in berth, so they're not going home, or, you know.
They're not going home without making the playoffs. Is crazy. I mean, look, it's a closer gap between 1 and 10 right. than it is between 1 and 2 in the East.
That's insane. That is crazy.
Yeah, your boys, they really have. They've been a magical season.
Who, the Knicks? Let me tell you this. I thought you were talking to me. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. I cannot wait to see Jalen Brunson playing at this level in the playoffs. Just put the damn team on your back and let's see how far you can go.
Safe to say he's your favorite player in the league?
Oh, get out of here. Without question. He's just...
I mean, there are no words. Outside of your favorite team, he should be everyone's favorite player, right? Just the way he plays.
And what he's made of himself. I know. Yeah. It's so cool.
By the way, his contract is now such a bargain.
I know.
Remember that he got crap for that, too.
Cam Spencer of UConn coming up hour two.
It was like, what? You're paying Jalen Brunson $100 million? This dude's now a $300 million player.
What you said is right, though, man. When he went down, I'm not a Knicks fan. I was like, oh, come on, man.
Somebody tweeted, well, it was Ben Stiller. Who's just as crazy a Knicks fan as that's now. Honestly, he's giving Jerry Ferrara a run for his money on X right now.
Richard Twitter.
On Twitter. And he retweeted somebody was tweeting about Bernard King. And I'm like, he's my favorite Knick of all time. And I thought to myself before hitting send, oh, yeah, he is. And the fact that I actually even hesitated for any moment is because of Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
I never thought in a million years when the Knicks signed him from the Dallas Mavericks that he would do anything close to like what he's doing to make me even ponder if Bernard King is still my favorite Knick of all time.
And that dude's got to be a Knick for life now. Like, you never let him play on another team.
Never. That goes without saying. Yeah. And it seems like the management there is enough to keep the owner away from even considering something else. But you know what? The beautiful thing, hey, Jimmy, if I may, enjoy the Sphere. You're killing it with the Sphere. Go out to Vegas. Try and create more spheres around the world. We'll take care of the Knicks and the Rangers. Rangers are killing it. Mm-hmm. Rangers are killing it. And the Knicks
Rangers are killing
could
it
be
too.
The 2 seed, and the Sphere is awesome, Jimmy. Enjoy that.
Stay there.
Stay in the Sphere.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.